Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome to Food for the Journey. Brothers and sisters, again, I urge you to look at our website, renewalministries.net, or listen to the toll-free number at the end of the program and order a booklet that will be helpful to you. Many of the themes that I speak about that are gospel themes I've put into booklet form, or some of those who work with me at Renewal Ministries have Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck have written a number of booklets, and that's why I urge you to go to our website, take a look at what's offered there, and see where you are in this process. Are you really following the Lord? Do you need to make some decisions? Do you need to turn away from something? Do you need to turn more towards something? Do you need to understand that you will render an account one day? And we need to be ready because we know not the day nor the hour. Are we ready to render that account? We don't need to be afraid of it if we're living a truly Christian life. And if when we sin, we're repenting for it. We don't need to be afraid of it. But we do need to be very serious about it. And so often I'm afraid in the last 40 or 50 years for Catholics, being Catholic simply means I go to church on Sunday and I put something in the collection basket. That's not being a Christian and certainly not being a Catholic. Is my life in accord with the gospel? And if it's not, am I working to correct that? Am I asking God for grace? Am I seeking help? Please be active. Do not let your faith be passive. If it is, you will lose it. You really will. When you come up against an obstacle, you will not have the desire or the courage to fight. Please pay heed. The first reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's essentially what I've just been saying. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's what the flesh wants. That's what the deeds of the body are. It's lust and it's jealousy and it's envy and it's murder in our hearts. It's all those kinds of things that lead us far away from God. So put to death those deeds of the body and you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Really, truly, it's not just an image, it's the reality. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. That's why we should care for one another, love one another, feed the poor, help them. Because we are all sons and daughters of one Father. And when we stand before God, the portion of the family that we were most closely related to, that's in our town, in our parish, in our state, whatever the geographical area might be, that in a sense, these are my brothers and sisters, and I will be called to render an account. Have I reached out? Do I try to do good? And not just once a year, but every day. Every day. Lord, what good can I accomplish for you today? What good can I make available for others today? Where can I sacrifice a little of my time today to do something for someone in need? You received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. My goodness, you're an heir of eternal life. You're an heir of the kingdom of heaven. You've won the lottery. You've been named in the will. Really? You've been named in the will of God. You have inherited. People scramble so much for earthly treasure when that heavenly treasure is infinitely greater. Infinitely. Choose him. Choose to follow him. Choose to follow him as closely as you can. For you will inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul very clearly says, you will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We need to be willing to endure some suffering for the sake of the gospel. When our children and our grandchildren are in difficulty, there's a lot of suffering goes on there. Persevere in it, because you want to bring them back to the Lord. And it costs. And God says we have to be willing to unite our suffering to the suffering of Christ for the salvation of others. That's part of becoming an heir of the kingdom. That you really are living like one. You're really living this part of the kingdom. Or a spouse who has turned away from God. It's challenging. Or a member of the family that are laboring under addictions. It's hard. It's very hard. But brothers and sisters, put your arms around that suffering, because Christ is right in the middle of it. And he's going to use you to help that person if you're willing. We often have all kinds of ideas about what we should do or what needs to be done. Take them all to the Lord first and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Ask him. And then listen. Wait. He'll show you. He'll show you either by whispering in your heart, or he'll show you by something somebody tells you. He'll show you by a book somebody suggests you read, or an article that you see. He'll tell you if you put it before him and wait upon him. His timing is perfect. Ours isn't. We want immediate answers. But that's not God. We've got to surrender to his timing, to his priorities. Our God is the God of salvation. He is. He's the God of salvation. Therefore, he's going to lead you safely. He's not going to misdirect you. Blessed day by day be the Lord who bears our burdens. God who is our salvation. God is a saving God for us. The Lord, my Lord, controls the passageways of death. He sees the whole picture. You and I do not. Trust him. Follow him. And the gospel is from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. 18 years of suffering, 18 years of being crippled. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her. He called to her. And he said, woman, you are set free of your infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. Now, wonderful, isn't it? Miraculous. But look at the condition of human nature. How perverse we are. Look what happens. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, no work on the Sabbath. Talk about living the letter of the law, and we all fall into it. Jews, Christians, Catholics, we all fall into it. There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. Look at that. Here is a woman. Here is a woman bent over for years. For years. All she could see was the ground in front of her. You've seen people like that. This has been going on for years. What? How much it must have incapacitated her to do anything. How much suffering and pain, how much physical turmoil, even at night, there must have been. And yet, the Pharisees are saying, don't heal on the Sabbath. You don't do any kind of work on the Sabbath. What they don't have is the heart of God. They have the commandments of God. But we always have to go deeper than the commandments and ask God, what was your heart here? What do you intend? How does this apply? It's not negating the calls of God, the rules, so to speak, the commandments, not negating them at all, but how do you want them applied? There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. They're legalistic. They're going by the letter of the law. They're not looking at the person. I'm not saying that compromises the rules and the commandments. It doesn't compromise them, but look how they're to be applied. The Lord said to him in reply, "You hypocrites." Oh, I would not have wanted to be on the other end of that. "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering?" In other words, there are things that are a necessity that don't apply on the Sabbath. Yes, they're work, but they're utter necessity. You don't have some animal suffering because you haven't done your job. Those works are to be done. It's what can be put off to the next day, in order to honor God and give God time, extra time. "Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? This daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath from this bondage?" And suddenly it's very clear. And when he had said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. All his adversaries were humiliated. When you're caught and you think you're doing the right thing and you end up being a Pharisee because you're stuck on a law and you're not looking at the heart, you're not looking at the intention for which the law was made. You always have to do that. What was the intent here? Not supposing that the intent, but really look for the intent. We need to do this when there's a question. But Jesus took them to task, and he took them to task publicly. And they were the ones who were the law keepers. They were the ones now who are being criticized, being disciplined for not living out the true teaching of the law. They had just gotten it down to, you know, specific external actions. They had totally missed the heart of the lawgiver. And we have to be very careful of that ourselves. When he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated. When they were humiliated, did they stop and say, "Jesus, I wonder if he's right. I need to think about this. I need to look at this." Oftentimes when we're humiliated, we stalk off in anger and we build a wall. A lot of the Pharisees did that. What do you do when you're confronted and it's true? How do you handle it? It says a lot about whether we really follow Christ or not. May God give you the grace to respond to correction with peace and with confidence. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.